From Daylight, I'm Kazuki Akiba.
I'm Brandon Weiser.
And this is Sayonara Baseball. This is a podcast where you and I find unseen baseball gems by analyzing them alongside different trends, news, and motivation behind many moves around the league today.
On today's episode, we celebrate minor league baseball once again with the help of our friends. Welcome, everyone, to season number 4 of Sayonara Baseball. We are glad to be back and happy to have some baseball on the horizon. For the show's 4th season and my 2nd season with the show, we are going to try some new and fun formats, bring out some of our friends, and may even talk a little bit about baseball because, well, this is a baseball podcast. This episode is our season premiere, and Kazuki is back with me, and Kazuki and I are going to give you a different episode this time because we want to have some fun. On today's episodes, we have not one, but two guests, two of our friends, two of our former colleagues. Brett Knight is with us, senior editor at Forbes, and Chris Smith, staff writer at Sports Business Journal. Brett, Chris, Kazuki, and I all worked together and are all members of the Forbes softball team, though geographically separated right now. For our time together today, we are going to bring back a conversation that I believe Chris, Brett, and I had at an event at work several years ago where we were milling about and we decided somehow got into a topic about minor league baseball team nicknames. And I believe it was particularly about the Latin heritage names where every team would swap their names for certain nights of the week and how cool they were. It's like, why don't Major League Baseball teams think of this? So today we're going to do something kind of like that. And in the spirit of that, we're going to bring back what we believe is a fantasy draft. We're going to draft minor league baseball team nicknames and mascots. I can't believe we had this conversation before, but we actually did. And it passed the time so well then, I think we'll bring it back now. Kazuki will join us as our 4th member. This idea was inspired by the show All Fantasy Everything. So shout out to Ian Carmel, David Borey, Sean Jordan, and all their lovely guests and friends of the Good Vibes Gang. For this draft, we have picked an order beforehand. We're going to go in reverse last name alphabetical order. So Chris will pick first, Brett second, I am third, Brandon, and then Kazuki will be our 4th, and then we'll wrap around after that. We're going to use a snake draft. So the tail ends will get the double pick. And then after we do our draft, we'll talk about it for a minute, and then we'll get into some real baseball because we have baseball finally after a 90-plus day strike. But we'll go from there, and we'll see what we both pick because all 4 of us here all root for different teams at some point. Kazuki has merged with me as a Mariners fan, but Brett and Chris are definitely not Mariners fans. So we'll get some good takes from them and some good opinions from very smart, independent, and intelligent people because Kazuki and I have become very biased when it comes to our baseball opinions. So friends, are we ready for the minor league baseball nickname draft?
Yes, sir.
All right. So with that, Chris Smith, you are on the clock. First pick.
With the first overall selection in the 2022 minor league nickname draft, Chris Smith selects the Rocket City Trash Pandas.
Now, great selection. I want to hear why.
Pretty straightforward. Double A team for the Angels, and obviously worth double points because one, not only does the team have an awesome nickname, but it's got an awesome nickname for the city as well. Trash Pandas playing in Madison, Alabama. Something actually I learned a few years ago. Alabama is home to a tremendous amount of sort of space manufacturing and NASA jobs, hence Rocket City, and Trash Pandas being the coolest nickname for what I think is one of the coolest animals, the adorable raccoon.
Well, I have to first admit that Rocket City Trash Pandas is my trivia team name in every trivia game competition I've done for the last 2 years. So that's also really nice of you to, you know, to take that from me. But yeah, that's the greatest thing about, I think, that fact is the amount of rocket and aeronautics engineering that takes place in the state of Alabama. And when the team moved there, they renamed both the logo and the city. I believe that's one of the only team names that has a nickname for both city and team name. So great first pick. I mean, it has to come off the board at some point. So Rocket City Trash Pandas, double A affiliate of the Los Angeles Angels, is off the board first. Brett, second pick.
Brandon, thank you for that introduction. I just first want to say before I make my pick here that I congratulate you on making this way more complicated than it needs to be.
Isn't that the story of our friendship here?
I mean, really, it's just this conversation to this point has been a slew of things that were unnecessarily complicated, starting with reverse alphabetical order by last name. Everyone's, you know, obvious, the simplest way to order this group of people. I mean, we could have done something even easier, like, you know, mother's zodiac sign, but sure, reverse alphabetical order, let's do it. I would also like to congratulate you. The obvious format for this, given the time of year, would be a March Madness bracket, but sure, let's do a fantasy draft.
I can't use the words March Madness because then the NCAA will come and sue me. I can barely do third month crazy time. Shout out to Katie Nolan.
The big tournament.
The big tournament, exactly. All right, but you know, the NFL draft is in 4 weeks? So it's in the spirit.
Sure. Anyway, all right, let's do it. Second overall pick. The Fightin' Brett Knights select the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs.
AAA affiliate of the Philadelphia Phillies based in the Allentown, Bethlehem area. Of course, iron being, it's the iron capital of the country.
So I should mention that I'm giving away a bit of my strategy here, but I have a very firm rule, which is that any team name has to have a direct tie to the city or region where the team plays. And so Iron Pigs, as you mentioned, it's a steelmaking region, and it is a play on pig iron, which is a component in steel.
Really? I didn't know about the pig iron thing. That's really interesting.
Yeah, so they just flipped it around and made a cool name out of it.
Like I said, I think you brought up a really good point, and I think this goes back to the conversation that Kazuki and I had with our friend Todd Radom about a year in 4 or 5 months ago, where the beauty of the minor leagues is that when you pick a team name, it directly reflects that city name. Like with more professional teams, when they move around, they keep the team name because of the wealth and the brand equity that it carries. Like the best example, some of you obviously are tied to California, is the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, there's no lakes near Los Angeles, but they kept the name from Minneapolis. And I don't think that ever happened in minor league baseball.
And you have some team names in the minors that are, you know, just borrowed from the major league affiliate, you know, whether that's the Cubs or the Braves or whoever. So it's not, you know, it's not universal, but obviously I think the best of the minor league nicknames have some local, you know, backstory.
Yeah, it's true. So I guess it's my turn. So with the third overall pick, I will select the AAA affiliate of the Colorado Rockies from Albuquerque, New Mexico, the Albuquerque Isotopes. Of course, with ties to all of the activity that took place throughout the state and around World War II with nuclear science, and also the generous play on words that has taken place from the Simpsons, the Springfield Isotopes. It's just the perfect name for that perfect area. It stuck around for years throughout a lot of different affiliations. So that's my third pick. Kazuki, you
Brandon, I got to stop you right there. I got to come down on you hard. If you believe Wikipedia, they picked the name because it was popular from The Simpsons. And the fact that there was a local connection was just a bonus.
I have been duped.
So I think I think that is an awful pick. And
what is this Simpsons hate?
No, I love the Simpsons.
Okay, the Simpsons is great.
I love the isotopes of the Simpsons. I just think, you know, this is like a fake local team name.
Well, see, that
there is a professional team in the United States named after a cartoon show. Humors me to no end.
I think that's a very good point here. That it could have a double meaning, which is quite impressive. But I agree with Brett. Like, it could be a total robbery here, in the sense that the name is just the Simpsons played it first. You took it, and
this is a total reach in round one.
Oh wow! Well, we'll see. Right? I mean, right now I will say, Brandon,
you clearly weren't at the combine, Brandon.
I was not at the combine. I'll say to our audience here, we do have one rule: is that each player in this draft cannot pick two teams from the same developmental tier back to back. So for that would mean, so my next pick cannot be a AAA team, but Kazuki is the first player to have two picks in a row as you wrap around here for the fourth and fifth pick. So Kazuki, your two picks, sir.
Yes. So the first one was my fourth overall pick. I would like to go with the Buffalo Bisons.
That is a classic. I will say that is a classic. I mean,
Mine is not really a historical reason like all three of you guys had. I actually like the Trash Pandas and Iron Pigs a lot more. I have more closer tied to Iron Pigs because of my fiance's grandfather lives out there. So I've been to the Coca-Cola Stadium. It's nice. But Buffalo Bison is more sentimental because of Munenori Kawasaki. He was like a player there who played quite a lot since he wasn't really caught up to the Blue Jays, the Major League affiliate. And he's just a fun guy to have. And I think looking at Salem Field, you know, its history is pretty rich, and it's one of the most attended minor league stadium, I think, ever. And I think it was in 1991 when they recorded like over 1 million attendance. So I thought that would be a cool name to start off with.
Kazuki, I think that's a pretty good name. I just think it could be a little better if they had done Buffalo. It's like a missed opportunity. Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting thing because two teams. In the area have connections. Buffalo Bisons, Buffalo Bills. The Sabres are a little bit off compared to those two. But the other interesting thing about
Kazuki, the Buffalo.
Yeah, the Buffalo's have been great. I agree with Brett and Chris on this one. The other thing about Kazuki's point is the Bison field was used significantly throughout 2020, so people could see it on TV. Usually don't get to see a minor league field consistently on TV. So when the Blue Jays are playing in Buffalo for half the year, it was pretty impressive to see that field. And that field got a great view. It looks right on over the city and then over to the lake. So, all right. So coming around the corner, Kazuki.
All right. So after the Buffalo Bisons, my fifth overall pick, it's going to be round two. So my first overall pick of round two will be Modesto Nuts, Single-A affiliate of the Seattle Mariners. And the reason why was Modesto Nuts, it has a lot of the Asian American heritage connected to it. And I think I just thought it's an interesting name. And I think seeing a lot of some of the games broadcast as Julio Rodriguez, Noel V. Marte, a lot of Mariners bias right there. I thought, you know, it would be a cool team to have.
Can't argue with that one. Does anyone know if it is anything connected with like almonds or anything?
It is a...
Mistaken,
they
produce a ton of nuts.
Yeah, oh. It's a nut growing region.
Oh, there you go. All right, so my second pick, I'm going to stick in, this is going to be a risky pick, I think, but I'll stick in California. My second pick, single A affiliate, Los Angeles Dodgers, the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes. Of course, because California, known for having lots of earthquakes, and the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes definitely kept that around. It's a perfect name for that area, and I'll stick with it. And yeah,
it is a little weird. Typically, if there's a team name that is dangerous, like a tiger or whatever, a shark, it is like mostly hypothetically dangerous. It's weird to name your team after something that killed a lot of people in the area where your team plays.
That is very true. I like that.
Kind of like celebrating a disaster is a little weird.
I always thought the best example of that was the Chicago Fire, which is literally right. historical.
Oh, that? Okay. Right. Talk about a team that has really just laid it on things with the nickname. Chicago Fire is definitely one of them. Yeah. The other thing is like really dangerous that could actually, you know, kill you is the Miami Marlins. Like a Marlin is deadly. Like that thing can...
out of all the team names to call out as dangerous, you went with Marlin?
I mean, what else is going to kill? Walker, Texas Ranger is going to kill you too, apparently. Well, I don't, he's a roundhouse kick you.
Ones of people are killed all the time from Marlins. Marlin attacks.
I guess they look so big. I'll go with they look really big. Okay, take that back. Diamondback snakes are also dangerous too. A lot of the animal ones. You're right, though. You're right. You mentioned sharks earlier. That's a good one. All right, Brett, your pick, second round.
All right, I think this is a steal. I almost had it number one overall on my board. So with my second pick, the Rumblin' Brett Knights will take the High A Wilmington Blue Rocks.
Now, explain to me why you picked that one, because my family lives in Wilmington, Delaware now, and I don't get the reference.
So, Brandon, the Wilmington Blue Rocks are named because the Brandywine River in Wilmington has blue granite along it. And I just like that a team is named after a rock. Pretty great name.
I respect that. Now, they also have a really good mascot. They use a celery stalk for blue cheese, I think. Half sometimes throughout the year. But yeah, Frawley Stadium off I-95 Wilmington is a really cool site. That's a steal. That is definitely a steal in this round. All right, Chris, your pick.
Well, I got to say, I'm pretty pumped to learn. I'm up against some front offices here, clearly not using sabermetrics in their evaluation. Lots of value left on the board for me here on the turn. First pick here of the two, I'm going to take the Mariners High A team, the Everett Aqua Sox. You may expect there is some wonderful, crazy story behind the name Aqua Sox, one word. In fact, though, it is simple as they looked at it and said, hey, there's a team called the Red Sox, a team called the White Sox. Naturally, the next logical color, aqua. So the Aqua Sox in Everett. Also, fun fact, their team logo is a bug-eyed frog with a baseball on its tongue. According to the team's announcement of this back in the 90s, the design is inspired by two species of tree frog, as well as Brooks Robinson, who has no relationship, so far as I know, to the team, given that he played his whole career for the Orioles.
I mean, I have no notes. I like the whole Blue Sox, White Sox, White Sox, Red Sox, Aqua Sox. That was good.
I can't support that pick because it violates my only rule, but I mean, I can't not support it either.
What was the rule that it violated?
Well, there's no local tie.
I mean, there's water.
All right, man.
Puget Sound.
I mean, most of the Seattle affiliates have like, you know, a marine. So like Brandon said, like water type, like names, like, you know, everything that's like nearby Seattle, like Tacoma Rainiers, for instance, that's like referring to the rain.
Hey. We are not suggesting someone take that next pick. Chris, don't take that as next pick.
Brett, allow me to ease your concerns with my next pick, which I thought the Rumblin' Brett Knights were taking on me. Just the Binghamton Rumble Ponies, named obviously for carousels, Binghamton being the carousel capital of the country. If not the world, I don't even know which it is.
This is a great pick. I want to just make sure I mention that right now. That is a fantastic pick.
I was thinking they might be number one overall. The only reason I didn't take them with my last pick was I couldn't do two AA teams in a row. They're the AA affiliate of the New York Mets.
I'm trying to recall the Rumble Ponies prior to being the Rumble Ponies. Were they the Binghamton Mets?
Yes. And they were the Binghamton Mets. And I actually followed this this team name selection pretty closely as it was happening. And so the only reason that I did not have Rumble Ponies on my big board is that in the naming process, I liked the name Timber Jockeys better, which was the alternative name for the carousel.
My Wikipedia research led me to believe, I think it's of the six possible names for the team, like four or five of them had to do with carousel.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. And I just was a fan of Timber Jockeys. I rooted hard for that name and was disappointed that they went a different direction.
Wow. I mean, it's a great name. Every time I think of that, and I hope I think of all other teams in Central New York. There's a lot of great Miley baselines in Central New York. So we'll see how anyone else will be about. We got one from Central New York, one from Western New York so far. So we'll see how that goes. All right, Brett, third round.
All right. With my third pick, the Wrestling Brett Knights will select the AAA Toledo Mudhens.
Detroit Tigers affiliate.
Yeah, so Toledo here, as it turns out, is basically surrounded by marshland swamps, I guess. And there's some birds there, which incidentally are American coots. And honestly, if they were the Toledo American coots, they might have been number one. But the American coot is also known as the mud hen. So they have, for, you know, something like 100 years, they have been the mud hens. And incidentally, they also had a great name before they became the mud hens, when they were the swamp angels, which is also pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, great name. I read that before. I don't know why you would change a name like that.
I mean, both good. Both good. And honestly, like I said, I think American Coot would maybe be even better than either, but all good names. Toledo doing good work.
What I'm surprised at so far is none of our logos are like fish or anything. Because I feel like a lot of teams named after like fish, or I'm not picking a fish, but like, there's not a lot of animals so far for us. We only have a few animals selected. It's pretty impressive.
We got rocks.
We got rocks. We got isotopes, quakes, nuts. We can't call an aqua sock an animal, can we? Even though the logo's an animal? I don't think we can.
I think it's clothing.
So that's your own power.
So with the third overall pick, I've gone AAA. Single A, so I'm going High A. So I'm going High A affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks from Hillsboro, Oregon. The Hillsboro Hops, obviously, because Oregon is notorious for having a lot of breweries. Hillsboro being a suburb of Portland, Oregon. Hillsboro now is, I believe, the closest minor league team to Portland, Oregon, after Portland lost the Beavers years ago. But the Hillsboro Hops obviously fits the name, fits the town really well. And I'm glad they stuck around after the whole reorganization and became the High affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
You know, the Hops were on my board, and I think that's a great name, but I think even better than the name is the logo. The design is phenomenal on that.
So just so everyone knows, if you go look it up, the Hillsboro Hops logo is an actual hop.
And the petals of the hop flower become a beard on the face of the hop. It's pretty great.
It's perfect. It really is perfect. All right, Chris. So Chris, Brett, Mai have picked. So Kaz, coming around the corner, your third fourth pick.
My third and fourth pick will be from the San Francisco Giants, the AAA affiliate, Richmond Flying Squirrels. And the reason why is I thought it was just a funny name after the Trash Pandas. And apparently they had like a contest back in 2009 to pick their names. And it was between the Hush Puppies and the Rhinos and the Flying Squirrels. And, you know, I thought it was a unique name. So I would rather go with Flying Squirrels. And the interesting part is they're based in the Eastern League. So they're not playing actually in the West Coast.
Yeah, that's a good one. I will say that reminds me of Rocky and Bullwinkle. Like, where, like, is that like a sketch they do? There's gotta be a sketch they do every game. I mean, it has to. He's the only flying squirrel I know. Is the mascot named Rocky? I really wonder if that's the truth.
But we had a...
Are flying squirrels native to the United States?
Well, Bullwinkle's from Frostbite Falls, Minnesota. I'm not sure where Rocky's from. It's a good question, though.
I don't know. I'll have to brush up on my Planet Earth.
Everyone's got to watch Planet Earth now on BBC America. All right, Kazuki, fourth pick, first round. What do you got?
Wait, can I just say that Hush Puppies would also have been a great name? It's too bad that isn't an option.
Yeah. Brett, you brought this point a few times. I think it's really interesting. Like the naming contests, like I was part of one on a team we can't pick, unfortunately, because they're not a minor league affiliate anymore, which is Vermont. Vermont was the Vermont Expos for years and years and years and years. And when I was living in Vermont, they had to pick the new team name. And they chose the Vermont Lake Monsters. And that's when I think they got it right. But the naming contest, like you get these suggestions that are like, come on. There's a couple other teams. I'll see if they come up. But the Hush Puppies would have been great in Richmond. I wonder what the connection would be. But yeah, there's a definite fun in the naming contest. Like what teams were left behind. Kazuki, yep. Your first pick of the fourth round, sir.
And I am going, funny enough, you guys mentioned the Expos. This team does have a tie with Expos. I'm going with the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, the AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. They have a pretty rich history in that they went through three different names. Expos was in the 1980s to 1990s. The Jumbo Shrimp came in the 2000s and ever since joined the Miami Marlins, or formerly known as the Florida Marlins back in the days.
This was the name that you gave when we were having our conversation with Todd, which I thought was really interesting as like the one that you really favored. And it's a great name. Jumbo Shrimp is the greatest oxymoron there is. So,
and I love the logo, like a muscular shrimp. Sign me up.
It's like SpongeBob SquarePants. So that comes to me. Ooh, so I am out on a high A affiliate, so I have to skip around here. I'm going to jump around here. I'll go to my first double A pick. I'm going to go further down my draft board than I thought. My pick in the fourth round, out of the Texas League, double A affiliate of the San Diego Padres, the San Antonio Missions. There's only one Alamo. It fits perfectly. So I will take the San Antonio Missions as the one of the greatest local reference nicknames there is out there.
Not a great history with missions, though. You with the Quakes and the missions, you're treading on some delicate territory here, I think.
I think my strategy definitely was to
offend local. As many people as possible.
I apologize for nothing, maybe. I think just the local nickname. It does have, it does obviously a sort of tragedy, unfortunately, but it applies so well. I mean, the most San Antonio thing is the Alamo, and it just fits. I will admit though, on my draft board, I jumped over a much better one. So maybe that'll bite me, but Brett, fourth round, what do you got?
Let's see. I think I can just keep going down my board here. I think I get my fourth overall pick in the fourth round. Just double checking the leagues here. Yeah. Cool. So my fourth round pick, the Battling Brett Knights, will take the AA Montgomery Biscuits of Alabama.
Great name. You've picked two teams. We've had both teams from Alabama picked. Is that true? I believe so.
You know, I got to say, it's not only a great name, but I appreciate that they seem to be like doing their all to market the hell out of this name. I should also say all of my research has been only on Wikipedia, so who knows if any of this is true. But it appears that there's a hey, butter, butter, butter chant. Which
hey, butter, butter chant?
Yeah, which is great.
Okay, we'll go hey, butter, butter. That's interesting.
Apparently, they shoot biscuits out of an air cannon into the stands.
Like a t-shirt gun?
I guess, yeah. Like a t-shirt cannon, but with biscuits.
I am impressed.
And awesome. And they have you know, the logo mascot and the in-person mascot. The in-person mascot is the stuff that nightmares are made of. I don't know that you really want to look that up. It's kind of like a sort of melted Philly fanatic, I would maybe describe it as. But the you know, illustrated logo mascot is just a biscuit that has googly eyes on it. I mean, it's just phenomenal. Like, great work all around, Montgomery. You're killing it.
It's great. I mean, it really is a great mascot. I like the logo is pretty awesome. Do we know why they named the biscuits in Montgomery? Does that ever come up?
Because biscuits are a popular food in Alabama.
That's fine. I wasn't sure if there was like a historical thing, like biscuits, like there's like a factory that makes flour, or like a big baking historical moment that came out there. I mean, obviously Southern cuisine has a hallmark in place for the biscuit of anywhere. So yeah, fits great. No problems with it whatsoever. Brett is definitely has an envious fourth set of four picks right now. Chris,
I feel good.
I feel good, Chris.
Any team named after a food, automatically good. Doesn't matter what the food is. I'm all
well, totally
let's,
agree.
Let's not forget that when Brett first picked the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, one of the other logos they have is a strip of bacon.
I have a delicious team.
You have a delicious team.
Except for the Rocks, I guess.
Except for Rocks. All right, Chris, fourth and fifth round picks coming from you.
So I think there's an obvious best team left on the board. I'm going to leave them for my second pick. From what I gather here, AAA teams really are quite shallow with the fun, having fun with the naming. So I'm going to leave myself open for my final pick. So first here on the turn, then going with the single A, Fort Wayne Fincaps, Padres.
Ooh. This was going to be my next pick.
Ooh, so we have a steal. We have
a scoop.
Steal.
Dude, I finally, someone got scooped here.
You scooped me.
Named because Johnny Appleseed, whose real name I forgot to write down.
John Chapman.
Thank you. Lived the tail end of his life and is buried in Fort Wayne. And of course, the legend purports that he wore the tin pot on his head. And the logo, appropriately, is an anthropomorphized apple wearing a tin pot on its head.
That I got to admit, good historical context there. That's a good historical context, and I appreciate that very much.
Americana through and through. And I'm going to follow that up with what I think is the best one left on the board by far. Kansas City Royals AAA affiliate, the Omaha Storm Chasers.
No! Oh, Chris has stolen my next pick. Oh, this is bad.
It is just, you know, what a perfect name. It's like visceral. You think, you know, you hear that and you just think about guys driving hair on fire, chasing tornadoes all around Middle America.
Right. I mean, obviously. Now,
on the subject of stellar logos, worth noting, the Omaha Storm Chasers logo is a tornado with eyes, a mouth, and for some reason, the scenes from baseball. The tornado has two arms and is carrying a baseball bat with neither of its hands, but rather in what I suppose is a crevice between its mouth and its eyes somehow, because I guess that's how tornadoes operate.
And that's very good. Now, Brett, does this fall into your category of things that are dangerous?
I mean, at least it's named after the people chasing the storm and not the storm chasing the people.
That's true. But yeah, so we had Chris has taken two bid steals off both Brett's board and my board. I had the Omaha Storm Chasers in my top 10 choices here, in case we got into like real deep territory.
I'm running a couple of pros. I don't know what you expected.
I mean, but, just for everyone's also knowledge here, all four of us have played in fantasy sports leagues together. I draft the worst, obviously, as we can tell now. But Brett and Chris usually draft the best and usually finish at the top of our league. And yours truly, in the 1 year that I really, really tried my best, I believe I finished last fantasy baseball. So if this is any copy of that situation, my picks are falling into that realm, according to you all. But I think I'm very happy with mine. But Brett, why don't you steal another one off my board? Your pick in the fifth round.
You know, that Chris left me reeling there a bit. And I'm now realizing as I study my board that it is almost all double A teams from here on out for me.
The double A teams are quite good.
So I guess I got to pull a bit of an audible here. I know what I'm going to do. And I say, you may argue with me on the legality of this, but I don't care. With the fifth round pick, the Boxing Brett Knights select the Sugarland Skeeters, AAA.
So you took the old name. You took the old name, the Sugarland.
This is gonna be my defense here. So as you suggest, the Sugarland Skeeters are rebranding to the Sugarland Space Cowboys. However, the 2022 season has not begun. So I'm gonna argue that at the time of this draft, they remain the Skeeters.
So for our audience here, it's a bit of a history lesson, I guess. Sugarland Skeeters were an independent team unaffiliated with any Major League Baseball, based in Sugarland, Texas, out of Houston. When Major League Baseball took ownership and operation and then reorganized the minor league baseball or 120 teams, the Sugarland Skeeters and the Somerset Patriots and the St. Paul Saints were three teams brought in from the independent league into the Major League Baseball. All three teams kept their original names. And then this season, about 6 weeks ago, the Houston Astros, who are now are in charge of the Sugarland then Skeeters, rebranded them the Sugarland Space Cowboys, which gave me a lot of Steve Miller Band vibes, to be honest with you. But both choices, either Skeeters or Space Cowboys, fantastic names. And obviously Skeeters for mosquitoes, because Houston is really humid. Fits perfectly. So I have no objection. But you're right. If we were to do this draft a year from now, the Sugarland Space Cowboys.
I think it's becoming clear that I just have a affinity for names that are not at all intimidating. So Rocks, yeah. Biscuits, Skeeters.
I mean,
I feel good about my team.
Iron Pigs is pretty intimidating, and just in general, the concept of either iron or pigs. But yeah, it's a good pick. It's a good pick. All right. So I'm of the same ilk as Brett here. I have a problem. I have a lot of double A teams on my board coming up. But I'm going to take a huge, huge left turn here. And actually, no, I'm not. I was going to do it, but I'm not going to do it. For my fifth pick, I'm taking the now high A affiliate of the... I can't do it. AAA affiliate, Seattle Mariners. Audible on the fly. AAA affiliate, Seattle Mariners. Gotta go Tacoma Rainiers. It is a beautiful logo. It was a beautiful logo. It is a beautiful logo. The original logo back in 2006-07 was the mountain, Mount Rainier. With the word Rainiers written over the top of it. And now it is the R Rainier, just like Rainier beer, Rainier chips. It's Cascade chips, but the Rainier flavored chips. It is a symbol of that town, of that region. It is a fantastic brand throughout that thing. And to go with my consistency, it's hyper local. So I will take that as my fifth round pick.
And also could potentially kill people.
I'm the murderous sort, apparently. All right, Kazuki, your fifth and then your sixth and final pick.
All right, my fifth pick, I'm going to go with the legend. He owns the team now. Aberdeen Ironbirds, the single A high affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. And this team is named after Cal Ripken Jr., the Iron Man, and they have to rename it from the Attica Blue Sox. And I just feel like, you know, it's a great honor for him to own it. And the fact that the team had to rename after him, that is like just a like legendary status right there.
It's a great field. It's a great team name. Great logo, too. I thought it was named for the Ironbirds because of Goddard Aerospace nearby, but that makes sense being the Iron Man for Cal Ripken here. Yeah, that's a great choice. It's again a team that was bumped up a league when it came back with a new organization. All right, Kazuki, your final pick.
All right, my final pick in the sixth round. I am going to go as a Seattle Mariners affiliate, Arkansas Travelers.
Oh, you can't take a team from a city where I was grew up. That's not fair. Shout out to Ray Winderfield. They don't play there anymore, but Ray Winderfield is the most dangerous baseball team I've ever been to in my life. If you hit a home run over right field, it will crash your windshield on I-630. There is no gap.
And then, funny enough, the name actually derived from a song called The Arkansas Traveler from 1962.
That is correct. And that name has stuck around for years and years and years. One of the few names that has not changed. All right. So my final pick. Oh, man. Do I go way off my board or do I go stick with it? I'm going to take it because I think it's just ironic and cool. Sixth overall pick. High A affiliate, Chicago White Sox. The Winston-Salem Dash. The Dash being, there's a Dash in Winston-Salem. That's all I know. The irony is not lost on me. Coincidence is too good.
I gotta say, I'm a little underwhelmed by that one.
I'm a little underwhelmed. I had a little bit low high my draft board, honestly.
I got a bunch of teams left on my board here that I like. Dash not among them.
So for some little inside baseball here, the Dash was my actual sixth round pick on my big board. I got my first, second, fifth, and sixth round pick. I jumped around a little bit, but I skipped over. I had to skip one of them because of our double league rule. And I got the Dash. So Brett, your final pick.
All right. You know what? I think there's a lot of value still on the board. And because there are going to be all of those undrafted free agents available after this draft, regardless, I'm going to break the rules again. Even if this pick is disqualified, like I said, I got others to choose from. So with the sixth round pick, let's see, I'm running out of adjectives. The Skirmishing Brett Knights will select the independent and unaffiliated Florence Yalls of the Frontier League.
Okay, now hold on. Hatchie, one of the 120 teams. That is not.
I'm breaking the rules. I don't care.
I'm going to object to this pick. However, I did have that on my big board of like, if I'm going to break the rules, I got to break the rules with that team.
Just to clarify, it is Y'all's Y'ALLS is the team name of this team.
It's a Woodbat League team now, I think, in the Appalachian.
It's in the Frontier League, I believe.
Oh, wow. So just to be fair.
Or at least according to Wikipedia.
So can you pick a real team too?
Maybe, but first I want to talk about the Florence Yalls.
Oh, of course, but.
So it turns out I learned from Wikipedia. This is basically just an ad for Wikipedia at this point.
Wikipedia, the source where you get to control what's said about you.
Yep. So apparently in Florence, Kentucky, which is outside Cincinnati, there is a water tower that says Florence Yall on it. And it says this because it originally was built with the words Florence Mall with an M. And the state told them that they couldn't have that sign, that it was false advertising because there was not a Florence Mall yet. They hadn't built it yet. And so they just changed it to Y'all.
Okay, and, I'll admit, first off, great.
And it's still there.
Great story.
And I mean, it's, yeah, great name.
Great story. All right. So now, wild card pick for Florence Yalls, but you got to give us a real pick too.
I don't see why this isn't a real pick, but I mean, I guess if you insist.
I insist.
John Elway, and he's not playing baseball.
It's like you selected Kyler Murray and he's still signed by the Cardinals kind of thing.
All right, let's see. I got a bunch of teams here. I will do... How about the double A Hartford Yard Goats?
Ah, so Brett, so this is the team that I was talking about earlier. I think Yard Goats is the second best name that was been a choice for them. The Whirly Birds, so much better. Okay, shout out to Whirly Bird Ice Cream in Denver, Colorado, by the way.
I gotta say, it is Yard Goats, not just because I like Yard Goats as a name, but again, the local connection.
Oh, but that's a great story.
It is slang for to be honest, I don't know exactly what it is, but it has to do with trains, locomotives, the yard goat.
It's a slang for the train yard operating equipment that moves cars around in a train yard.
There we go.
And
there's a rail yard in Hartford.
Hartford's a big rail city in the Northeast, so it works pretty well. But yeah, totally get it. Great name. Wish it was a Whirly Birds. Again, shout out to my friend Kayla, runs Whirly Bird Ice Cream outside Denver, Colorado, who named her ice cream company after that nickname that would have been the Hartford Yard Goats.
But everyone knows my real pick was the Florence Yalls.
Yes, the Florence Yalls was Brett's sixth round pick, but we got to play by the rules. And yes, Chris,
noted.
Final pick off the board goes to you.
So in case it wasn't clear already, I'm pretty fond of the more absurdist names. Before I declare my final pick, quick honorable mention to some of the unselected teams, including the Mighty Muscles, the Wind Surge, the Sky Carp, the Sod Poodles.
Amarillo Sod Poodles was my actual next round pick, by the way.
That would have been my seventh round pick had we kept going. But instead, round six, I will be selecting the Akron Rubber Duck.
That was the pick that I had to skip because of the double A rule. I was going to pick them and then I jumped.
Double A is really loaded with the best team name.
Double A is really loaded.
Double A team name. Obviously, not only is Rubber Duck a spectacular name for anything, but Akron, home to rubber manufacturing tire companies, and like with many of the automotive inspired teams, terrific logo, fierce duck face with a tire track running off the back of its head.
Oh, of course.
Pretty stellar value, I think, with the final pick there.
All right, so I'll quickly recap everyone's picks here, and then we'll quickly go over some team names that are honorable mentions. So Chris Smith, first, his picks are Rocket City Trash Pandas, Everett Aqua Sox, Binghamton Rumble Ponies, Fort Wayne Timcats, Omaha Storm Chasers, and the Akron Rubber Ducks. Brett selected the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs first, followed by the Wilmington Blue Rocks, Toledo Mud Hens, Montgomery Biscuits, Sugarland Skeeters, and then his sixth round pick is the Florence Yalls. We're calling it the Florence Yalls the sixth round pick, even though I have to pick the Hartford Yard Goats for rules-based purposes. My picks for my first round, Albuquerque Ice Toast, Rancho Cucamonga Quakes, Hillsboro Hops, San Antonio Missions, Tacoma Rainiers, and the Winston-Salem Dash. Kazuki goes Buffalo Bisons in round one, Modesto Nuts round two, followed by the Richmond Flying Squirrels, Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, the Aberdeen Ironbirds, and the Arkansas Travelers. Okay, some honorable mentions real quick. Chris started doing it, and I had a bunch on my board that I thought were great. The Asheville Taurus, I thought was a great name. Asheville being a big tourist city now, it's always been that way. The Northwest Arkansas Naturals, the AA affiliate of the Kansas City Royals, being from the Ozarks area. The one team that I'm so surprised none of us picked, I was close to it myself, is the Portland Sea Dogs, a AA affiliate of the Red Sox, Sea Dog Brewing Company. And the Sea Dogs, great synergy there. Amarillo Sod Pills, we saw that. Again, AA affiliates are great. Midland Rockhounds, Tulsa Drillers, some great names there. Brooklyn Cyclones was my high A affiliate that I had not been able to draft yet. Another one. The one that was too on the nose, but I was wondering if I wanted to pick it, was the Vancouver Canadiens or the Blue Jays. It's the only Canadian team. It's the only one Canadian Major League Baseball team, Vancouver Canadiens. And then I'll leave with this. Brett got me into the whole shark thing. Jupiter Hammerheads. Great name. That was not selected. And if I were to be the arbiter of who got the top selection here, for consistency purposes, got to go with Brett.
Oh yeah,
all of his picks,
clear winner,
are just fun things. Even if I go with the Hartford Yard Goats over the Florence Yalls in round six, it's pretty
good. Blue Rocks is really underrated.
The best. I think the best story behind the name, honestly, though, has got to go to Chris's pick with the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. Like, that is a cool story about Johnny Appleseed. And that logo with the app. I never knew why it was an apple. Never knew. And I think that's a pretty awesome pick. And the rubber ducks, are their uniforms are really fun to see in person. I saw them play the Erie Seawolves one time, which is great. But also shout out to our friend Todd, who designed the logo for the Wichita Wind Surge, which would have been one of our other picks that we brought up. Wichita is playing in its second year as a minor league team. And that logo is really cool. And that Bell Park is awesome on the riverfront in Wichita. So that's the draft.
Can I throw out a couple honorable mentions too?
Sure. Anyone else got any honorable mentions, please add them.
All right. I want to shout out the Biloxi Shuckers. Which I think has great, you know, chant potential. I want to shout out the Altoona Curve. I think typically, like, you know, team names that involve the sport are a little too on the nose. You know, there's a Louisville Bats. I think it's a little too on the nose, but Curve is kind of fun. It's named after Horseshoe Curve in that area. I think Tampa Tarpons is fun because it's Tarpons with an R, but whoever named that team knew what they were doing. I like the Down East Wood Ducks. I think as we talked about with some other teams that both team name and city name get a nickname in a fun way. And I want to shout out one more independent league team, which is the Charleston Dirty Birds. Because Dirty Bird is a reference to a canary in a coal mine, and it's a coal mining region in West Virginia.
That's a good one. That was a relic of the West Virginia Power. Same idea of that team. That's a good one. Kazuki, you got any honorable mentions you want to mention?
No, you guys have it all. So,
yeah, I would say that the one other like honorable, I got one or two more. The Tennessee Smokies, Smoky Mountains in there. I think that was a real simple one. Nashville Sounds, same town, same area. And then being as someone who is currently in the New Jersey region, the Blue Claws was the other one on my draft board. But thank you all for entertaining that option. I think we had a lot of fun, got some good names, got some stories. So draft's over, but we got two really good sports writers here, along with Kazuki and I. So we're going to ask them for some pretty good opinions and pretty good, some points of what to look forward to coming up from the 2022 season. So coming up after the break, it's time to do our professional duty and discuss some early storylines and predictions ahead of the 2022 Major League Baseball season. All right, welcome back. We are here today with our friends Brett and Chris, two exceptional sports writers, our former colleagues, and also members of our collective softball team. So we just finished up our minor league baseball draft, our fantasy nickname draft. We crowned Brett the winner of the best overall selection, And we also crowned Chris as the best individual pick. But now let's get into the 2022 Major League Baseball season with some important questions. So around the horn we go. We'll start with Brett. Most significant offseason move, why?
I mean, there's so many to choose from. Why'd you have to put me on the spot to go first? I am tempted to say the Yankees basically doing nothing and settling for Isaiah Kiner-Falefa just to sort of mess with Chris here. But I will say I think the most significant move is Freddie Freeman to the Dodgers, not for competitive reasons, but because we just had 3 months of CBA agony, as the league talked about the economics of the game. And despite all their best efforts, we come out of this with the rich team spending a lot of money and getting another player and just basically ignoring the tax that we just argued a lot about. So I would say Freeman to the Dodgers for economic reasons would be my most significant move.
All right, Chris, same question to you.
Follow up on Brett's first point. I think the most surprising move was definitely the Yankees' lack of free agency splash. Heading into the offseason, it seemed the question was which shortstop they were going to get among the kind of the big names. And, you know, the idea that they would come away with none of them, I think, is a bit of a surprise. But in terms of the biggest move, maybe a little obvious, I'm going to go with Carlos Correa to the Twins, something that I was shocked by and did not really expect, but sort of instantly turns a team that was already pretty interesting and has, you know, obviously a handful of very talented players, elevates them to an instant contender to lose in the first round to the Yankees once again, obviously. But I don't know how, you know, I think the Red Sox picking up Story is a huge move and, you know, makes a very good team probably great. Really like the Freeman deal, even though competitively, I think you're probably with the Dodgers taking the best lineup in baseball by a wide margin and just making it better. With the Twins, though, nabbing Correa, I see that elevating, you know, a team from, you know, probably a middling finish in that Central to now potentially contending with the White Sox to win the division.
Kazuki, same question to you, and please don't say Robbie Ray.
No. Objectively speaking, I believe the Blue Jays made the biggest splash this offseason. Two of their big moves, one is trading for Matt Chapman, solidifying that infield. Now with Guerrero, Biggio, and now Bichette around the horn, pretty good defensively. And I think the pitching depth they added this past season was Kikuchi and Gausman. They solidified that starting rotation. Now you have five solid starters who could be like a tier two, like starting pitcher, second starting pitcher in any other team. And then, you know, was that bullpen from last year, all the additions with Simber, Meza. I think you're looking at a first place finish competing with the Tampa Bay Rays.
Everyone stole mine. I will say that the one that surprised me, since you are all more smarter than I am when it comes to this, the one that surprised me the most was Chris Bryant going to Colorado. Why? It didn't make fundamental sense to me. But then when I saw they re-signed Ryan McMahon, that's what really sold. I was like, that team is now have power. So they really upped their power game. But I still think Chris Bryant, like replacing Nolan Arenado, is just like a strange concept. Because now the Giants.
Well, and you know, Arenado's gone. They let Trevor Story go, and then they spent a bunch of money on Chris Bryant. I don't understand.
Oh yeah, and that team is definitely bound for the bottom.
It's the Rockies befuddle me and have for quite some time.
I think that's a good point, Chris. That they just befuddle you. And Chris's point too is like Brett's point about they let go of Arenado last year, did very well in St. Louis.
Don't forget they gave them cash, $15 million.
They paid the Cardinals to take Arenado.
Right. And then they go.
And then instead of getting, they got nothing back for Story, who they just let walk, and then spent a ton of money anyway. So Yeah, I don't get it.
Then the other one is obviously Seager going to Rangers. There's that one is just interesting. Again, we're not being biased here as Mariners fans. We're not going to talk about Jesse Winker, Eugenio Suarez, Adam Frazier, or the Mariners.
I have another interesting story to talk about. The Phillies, they're signing all power bats, no defense. Their strategy is very, very interesting. You have a couple ground ball pitcher and Eflin and Gibson, and all your players are atrocious in defense, except for maybe Realmuto and maybe Bryce Harper. Like, Castellanos, where is he going to play? Same with Schwarber. So are they going to swap DH in left field? And that infield is pretty bad, outside of maybe Segura.
But the question, honestly, is how many funerals are they going to announce on TV, and how many home runs that Castellanos will hit?
And that'll be a 4-0 lead.
Right. It's a 4-0 lead, and someone, and today it's not passing up, and Castellanos is like that guy has the worst timing. I mean, the guy is, it's pretty remarkable. That's a pretty cliche topic. So, kind of that. So thank you all for that. So the next question, Chris, will go to you first. Without looking at your favorite team, what is the team you're looking forward to watching in 2022?
I'm a West Coaster. I live in LA. So in terms of teams that I will readily be able to watch, they tie up there, and maybe a bit of an obvious pick given a few of the names on the team, but I'm going with the Angels this year. Shohei Ohtani, the most electric player in baseball. Fingers crossed, the healthy Mike Trout coming back for most of, if not a full season. I can't think of a better 1-2 punch and a more exciting team to watch on TV. Or, you know, fingers crossed for me in person. I got out to a few Angels games last year and actually was supposed to be there for an Ohtani start, and he got scratched the day of. So hopefully we'll be able to replace that miss this season and catch him on the bump a few times.
It's a good pick. We'll go to Brett next. You're a Cardinals fan. So other than the Cardinals, what team are you looking forward to paying attention to throughout the 2022 season?
You know, I'm tempted to say the White Sox, just because I think Tim Anderson is maybe the most fun player in baseball. The guy has more, you know, personality than the rest of the American League combined. But I am going to say the Braves. When Acuna gets back on the field, I'm, you know, looking forward to watching him. He's exciting. Albies is fun to watch. And I think beyond that, I have enjoyed watching Braves bullpens melt down for years. And now they have Kenley Jansen. So more of that.
That's just icing on top of the cake here.
There is no lead safe in Atlanta.
No lead is safe in the National League. All right. So Kazuki, same question to you.
I'm really interested in the Battle of the East, especially in the AL East, particularly the Blue Jays and the Rays. Rays, they have a star in Wander Franco. He had that huge extension in Rays standard. I want to see how that team really takes off, especially with that starting pitching with Baz and McClanahan. Blue Jays, I think they're just a really fun team to watch. Last year, they had a huge run differential. And now if they could get their pitching together, I want to see how they could contend with the rest of the big names like the Red Sox and the Yankees.
So we got the Braves, the Angels, a little bit of Blue Jays Rays talk here. I'm going to go with actually a team that Chris mentioned for the biggest, most surprising move. I'll go with the Twins. I really want to see what is going to happen now that you got Carlos Correa, because that team had a pretty decent infield. And you lost Andrelton Fitzsimmons to the Cubs. But now you have Carlos Correa. So now let's go see what happens here, because no Cruz. So is it going to be like the Bash Brothers and go Boomstick Part 2 with this different bat? So I'm curious how that's going to be. But to Brett's point about the White Sox with Tim Anderson, I think that division now has a little more competition than it probably did last year. So that's going to be a good one.
And the White Sox bullpen, I think it's a huge threat. You have Crochet, Kopech. Now they have added a Kendall Graveman and a couple other arms. I think it's going to be very, very competitive.
That bullpen the bullpen's rock solid. All right. So we had some rule changes come this year. Curious what everyone has to say about the universal DH. No more pitchers are going to bat. So universal DH, what are our thoughts? What are we going to see out of this? I think I'll go first on this one and make it quick. The Dodgers have every person they want to ever play at DH on their roster. It's like you can put Max Muncy at DH every game and it's fine. Or you can put Freddie Freeman at DH and put Max Muncy in the field. They're just loaded. And I think that's a very scary prospect to have a overwhelming amount of talent and now you have an extra batter to add for it. So I'll go backwards as well. Kazuki, universal DH rule.
I've personally been a fan of the universal DH just because of watching Chin Ming Wong. I recently viewed his documentary. Like, his career pretty much got ruined after pulling his hamstring running in Houston. And now he's no longer the same pitcher. Pretty sure Chris Smith feels the same way. So in that sense, I think I would support it just because most of the pitchers haven't really batted in the minor leagues and all of a sudden they're asked to bat against like 100-mile-per-hour fastball. I don't think that's reasonable, but I do see why, like, you know, certain people would like pitchers hitting just because it's just interesting and so different and weird. But I'm for the universal DH.
Brett.
I'm a lifelong National League watcher, so I am against the DH in my bones. I think it is boring and saps a lot of the fun strategy.
You are talking to two Mariners fans, so do not invoke any dismay of Edgar Martinez. But yeah, I totally get it. It's such a radical change.
Well, and you know, I think it is just fun to have, you know, like double switches and you know,
that's a good point. I did not anticipate the whole idea of the double switchings, the reorganization of the batting order on the fly. But yeah.
I mean, it's gonna. Baseball managers are already, window dressing, and this just sort of takes all strategy out of the manager's hands. I don't love the addition of the DH. I will say that because they were doing the DH rule changes anyway, I do appreciate the change, the Ohtani rule that's going to allow him to stay in games. I think that.
Yeah, can for our listeners, can you please explain that real quick, just so we all have that little context on that?
Basically, the rule was changed so that effectively just Ohtani, but I suppose there's what, one or two others now who are
Michael Lorenzen, also right. Angels, Brendan McKay of the Rays.
I guess less important for them because I think Lorenzen hasn't done a lot of starting, but basically almost entirely for Ohtani, he will be able to start as pitcher and DH. And so when he comes out of the game pitching, he will be able to continue in the game as the DH, which was previously not allowed.
There we go. All right. Chris Smith. Thoughts on the universal DH?
Absolutely love the quirky things in sports. It killed me when they, you know, turned the intentional walk into an automatic base on balls. I love watching the, you know, potential for hilarity to ensue. That said, there are a few things that I find more boring than watching a pitcher refuse to take the bat off his shoulder or just try to lay down a sack bunt. So I am thrilled to replace that with someone who actually gets paid to hit a baseball for a living. Very pumped about the new DH rule. And just to play foil to Brett, as a lifelong American League fan, I've always thought that these National League fans talking about the brilliance of the double switch is a little overblown, as if that's, you know, on par with Phil Jackson designing the triangle offense or whatever.
Wow. We're going there, are we? Okay.
Oh, boy. Someone moved from center to right. Oh, boy. So, not too impressed, if I say so myself. As also a fantasy baseball nerd, excited for the prospect to have a few additional bats there on the waivers that'll be serviceable when I need that mid-year replacement.
Well, first I want to say Phil Jackson did not design the triangle offense. That was Tex Winter. But secondly, you just clearly didn't grow up watching Tony La Russa. So, you know, I don't think you understand how wacky those can be.
Yeah, Tony La Russa.
I once saw I forget the year off the top of my head, the year that the Cardinals traded for Jeff Weaver. I think during the All-Star break and I want to say his first game on the Cardinals, he came in as a pinch hitter in extra innings and then didn't pitch.
I feel like Madison Bumgarner somewhere is just like either thank God or why? Because I mean, he was a lethal hitter too when he was playing. So yeah, it's an interesting rule.
Jason Marquis can hit.
We'll see how it goes. So the final professional baseball question, rather than give us like all division winners, give us a team that you really think has a shot at making a division win this year. And I'm going to go first because you can't take it. I think the Mariners got a chance. We got a chance now. I only think we have a chance because the Astros didn't make any moves. They got rid of everybody. But the one concern with the Mariners is that bullpen. That bullpen, they lost a bunch of heavy hitters. They lost Graveman, and it's just a little bit soft. But you got power. You got three new power bats, which the Mariners haven't had in a really long time. And they kept it close last year. So I think the Mariners have a shot at the AL West. That's my duty as a Seattle sports fan. Being a child of the 90s in Seattle, it's like, refuse to lose has to come back. And there's no more Russell Wilson across the street. So we need some good vibes down in Soto. So I'll go with the Mariners potentially winning the AL West. Brett.
Is this supposed to be an under the radar pick?
Well, a team, if you had to give like your one declaration of like, I'll stick to this throughout the entire year kind of thing.
Well, if I was going to stick with it, I'd probably say, you know, like, the Braves, but I'm going to make it a little spicier, Kazuki kind of beat me to it, but I'm going to say the Blue Jays to win the AL East. I really like that team. They got, you know, a lot of big bats in that lineup. Guerrero, Springer, Hernandez, Bichetti, Matt Chapman coming in. You know, we've been waiting on a Biggio breakout. Maybe this could be the year. I've been seeing some optimism around Greg Bird. I'm sure Chris would immediately shoot that down, but you know, I like, you know, taking a flyer on him, maybe as a DH. And yeah, you know, finally starting to build up some pitching depth. You know, Ryu now can slot in as you know, your number three guy, your number four guy. That's a much stronger rotation than they've had in a long time. So. I really like that team.
I mean, I love the Gausman acquisition. I thought that was so smart. Great.
Yeah, pick. I mean, you get Gausman. They'd already picked up Berrios.
And they also added Kikuchi late. Yeah. So,
but you know, that's four pretty legit starters that they can throw.
And I believe Manoah is now going to be staple. He's going to be slotted as a starter. So they definitely have a rock solid rotation compared to what they had last year, which was two and then a flop. It just flipped over the cliff, and it was a lot of guesswork. Chris, surprise, standard, committed pick, lock of the year. Any of which the division winner you think you're looking forward to?
You're changing the parameters on me.
I don't know. It's my podcast. I can do what I want. Because we can do my podcast. We can say whatever I want.
If you're looking for a stone cold lock, I'm going with the Dodgers. And
that's fine.
But okay. That's not fun. So first. You know, I think the AL East has four teams that are not necessarily favored, but, you know, it's a wide open race. And I think Tampa is a fun one there. But instead, I'm going to go with a hot take and say the New York Mets, which, you know, they're destined to lose in some painful way. But let's just say it'll be, you know, they flame out after winning the division this time around.
Low Mets reign supreme.
When people start nicknaming rules after your owner, you know, something interesting is happening.
That is true.
If things break right for them, this could be a really, really fun year. I mean, I'm just imagining, you know, Lindor bounces back, remembers how to hit a baseball. Max Scherzer coming off of this whole long lockout with a huge chip on his shoulder, being as involved as he was, and already looking completely filthy in spring training. Obviously, the Braves are a juggernaut, and that is going to be no easy task chasing them down. but I'm not sure the rest of that division puts too much of a challenge, given the level of talent they've got. So it's going to require a few things breaking their way, and I'm not going to pretend like this is any sort of likelihood, but I think it's a fun one, and maybe a team that a bit of a dark horse with a real shot.
It's fine by me. Yeah, people are out here pretty excited. But like you said, they always lose in the most disastrous ways. So we'll see how that happens.
I do want to throw out there on the subject of the Braves. I think their lineup, they have seven guys who hit at least 24 homers last year.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
The depth on that team is just incredible.
And the fact that they have seven people without Jorge Soler is even crazier. And Freddie Freeman.
They replaced Freeman with Olsen. So, you know, Olsen's going to hit a lot of baseballs out there.
It's basically, it's a like-for-like type of change. All right, Kazuki, team you're looking forward to win the division this year?
I'm going to have a really hot take, and it's going to go against our Mariners. Unfortunately, I think the Angels will win the division. And that's
what I was afraid of.
Here's the reason why. Mariners, I would argue that their bullpen's not bad. They added Ken Giles back along with Andrés Muñoz. I think it's going to be a very good pen, and you could put Matt Brash and a couple of the young arms in there, but the Angels, besides bounce back from Mike Trout, Anthony Rendon, I think their starting pitching is starting to form into shape. Patrick Senebal, very underrated arm. I think he's going to have a big breakout year. And you have a lot of the bullpen arms that could cover a lot of things up. And Reed Detmeyer's another one. And also from the Yankees trade was Heaney. I think his name was Funk. He has really good raw material. If they could harness all of their stuff and if they could stay healthy, I think they could win the division.
That would be a long time coming for that team, I think, like I said. But a lot to look forward to. April 7th is opening day, and we'll see what happens. That closes out the regular material. But as we always do, we have a bonus question. We'll get to that in a second. So to close, as we always do for our guests, we have a fun little question. Last year, we had the three strikes and you're out segment, three critical questions about your baseball loves and interests. But this year, as some of our listeners will remember, last year we had a segment which was very, very near and dear to our hearts, Kazuki and mine, which was the walk-off song of the show. But rather than us pick one, we're going to ask our guests to pick one. So if you guys had to pick your own walk-up song, your own entrance song, your own Enter Sandman, what would you pick? And what's the meaning behind it? Start with Brent.
I am a St. Louis native, so I got to pick a St. Louis band. I'm going to pick a band that you guys might not be familiar with called The Urge. And I like them because they have walk-up songs for various situations. So I'm assuming this is like actual me and trying to play the major leagues.
Sure. That's the dream. Keep the dream alive.
Yeah, and I'm going to strike out every time, right? So
it doesn't matter.
So, you know, first time walking up to the plate, no one knows how much I suck yet. So we start with Jump Right In. I strike out. Next time coming up to the plate, we move over to Getting Hectic. I strike out again. And so then next time up at bat, it's going to be All Washed Up. And that way, you know, I stick with the urge, but I cover all my bases there.
And, I'm going to compliment Brett here because I think one of the things that's really cool about getting to know Brett over the past several years is his music knowledge is phenomenal. Every year, Brett shares his top 10 albums, I want to say. Albums. And for the past several years, I've actually written all of them down and then tried to find them. This past year, when I was writing one of our episodes, I took Brett's first four that he shared and listened to them back to back to back to back. Bands I've never heard of in my life. And they were phenomenal. I would never, it's a genre of music I never listened to. So I appreciate Brett's musical knowledge significantly. Same with Chris when that's his pick. But yeah, I love a good St. Louis band, The Urge. Something to look forward to for our listeners to look up. And we'll, as always, add Brett's selections to our walk up entrance song playlist on Spotify. Chris Smith, your selection.
I'll start by saying I'm incredibly impressed at Brett planning an entire career arc worth of walk up music. My own research extended to what songs have really awesome opening notes and would be electrifying and exciting if I had to go up and stare down at something faster than about 40 or 50 miles an hour. The two I settled on and would flip a coin between would be Annie Up by M.O.P. and Break Your Neck by Busta Rhymes. I believe, given the short amount of time they play the music for on your way up to the plate, I'd be able to get either in before the profanities start up and would get away with it. So, perhaps boring, but two songs always on my workout playlist.
So, fun fact about Annie Up for our listeners, if you're aware, Annie Up was one of the selections that we had last year. We had an Anna Kendrick special for our entrance song at one of our episodes where we did Annie Up, which she sings in, I forget the movie where she's with Blake Lively and she does the solo in the car and she does the rap of the C-verse, I think. It's awesome. So I appreciate Chris bringing that back. But a good Busta Rhymes song, that was one thing that we really didn't have last year. It's a song of that ilk. So I appreciate that greatly. And like I said, we'll add all their songs. Like I said, Chris has phenomenal knowledge of music for all his selections. But yeah, we'll add.
I just want to say, I had this prepared and I actually just thought of one that I like better. I want to redo mine. Sorry.
No, well, on the fly, ladies and gentlemen, on the fly.
All right,
Adding the Urge, by the way, to our playlist because it's just awesome that you picked the St. Louis band.
All good. I want my actual song to be the Cespedes song.
From Yoannis Cespedes.
Yes. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. I don't think it lasted very long, but he briefly had a song that he commissioned about himself. And the lyrics, were like, Cespedes. And just like repeating his name over and over. And he played that walking to the plate. And I want my song to be Cespedes.
Fair enough.
Can I change my pick now?
You want to change your pick? Let's go for it. It's a new segment. We love it. Love it. I love this segment. It's so much fun to do.
That's Miami Marlins anthem.
The Miami Marlins?
Scott, front man for the Christian rock band Creed, did a song for the Marlins that, frankly, I will not be able to do justice talking about. And so,
it's not. Can you take me higher? Is it? I mean, like we gotta go. We gotta start.
It's basically Scott Stapp just naming nouns from baseball.
Well, fair enough.
Your time for a quick YouTube search.
Yeah, that's good. I appreciate all of these. Honestly, it was one of the most fun segments we came together with last year. We wanted to bring it back in a different, new and different way. We realized that the people that we don't get to talk to that much on our show, we wanted to have their inputs. So, Kazuki and I will add ours throughout the year if we want to. But like I said, this is great. We love it. So again, we'll add all of their songs. We've got about, I think, 7. That's a big add for all of these. So we greatly appreciate it. That's the end of our show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you to Brett and Chris. You can find Brett's work on Forbes.com. And on Chris, you can find his work on Sports Business Journal. Look out for a lot of their things coming very soon. Brett Knight, Chris Smith, thank you so, so much for taking the time this evening to speak with us, have a little fun, and we'll see if all our predictions come true in the future.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And that will do it. Remember to find Sign Our Base wherever you find your podcast. Like, rate, review, and subscribe. And we'll see you again real soon on another episode of Sign Our Baseball.
That's it for this episode of Sign Our Baseball. This episode of Sign Our Baseball is hosted and produced by me, Kazuki Akiba, and Brandon Beiser. This episode was edited by Kazuki Akiba with additional research by Brandon Beiser. Our theme song is by K. Margus. Sign Our Baseball is a production of Daylight and Media 3 Limited. We'll be back with another episode. If you like this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast as more people will know about this show. Go to daylightinteractive.com to see some exclusive updates and more about our upcoming shows. I'm Kazuki Akiba.
And I'm Brandon Beiser.
And this has been Sayonara Baseball.